All right, let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the book of Genesis chapter 9, please. Genesis chapter 9. Genesis chapter 9. All right, the flood is over, and the ark has landed on Mount Ararat. And in verse 1 of this ninth chapter, it says, "And God blessed Noah and his sons, and said unto them, Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth." And the rest of this chapter is God making a covenant with Noah. I want to begin reading for the sake of time this morning. I took too much time at the beginning there, so cut into my sermon time. But if you will look at verse 8, I want to read just a couple of verses here, and then you'll get the idea of what's going on. So in this covenant that God made with Noah, verse 8 says, "And God spake unto Noah and to his sons with him, saying, And I, behold, I establish my," what's the next word? Covenant with you, and with your seed after you. Now, who's that? That's us. All right? So, this is with us. So, this is for us. That's the point. "And with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl and of the cattle and of every beast of the earth with you, from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth. And I will establish my," there you go, there it is again, "and I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood. Neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, This is a token of the covenant which I have made between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations." Here's the covenant, or here's the token. "I do set my bow in the cloud." That's a rainbow. All right, "I do set my bow," the rainbow, "in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of the covenant between me and the earth. And when it shall come to pass, when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, This is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth." I want to speak to you this morning on the covenant with Noah. Let's pray and then the message. Father, thank you for your word, and I pray your blessings now upon the preaching of your word. I pray that you will help me to get all of this in and to say it so that everyone understands and sees the point that I want them to see this morning. And Father, may we be encouraged in your word. May we be encouraged in the truth of your word. And thank you for all the covenants that you have made with us. Lord, thank you that you will never go back on your word. What you promise in a covenant that you make with us is eternal. It will never be violated. And Lord, thank you for those promises. Bless now the preaching of the word of God. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. I don't know how you feel about what is in these chapters telling us about the flood, but every time I read them, I just sit in awe of the word of God. Just imagine what this must have been like for Noah. What must Noah have thought when he walked out of that ark and looked around and saw the world? What must he have thought? I mean, it surely would not have looked anything like the world that he saw before the flood came. And when God shut that door behind him, and then when the door was open and he came out, certainly he came out to an entirely different world. You know, whenever we have a brush with death, either through sickness or through an accident, there is always a thought on our minds or in our minds that maybe the Lord is giving us a fresh start in life. We always think about, maybe God is giving me a new lease on life. And how many times have we heard about or we have known someone who had a near-death experience, or they got a word that they had, say, some disease, or and the Lord miraculously put his hand on them? How many times have we seen them just re-energized, and how many times have we seen them come running back to the Lord, and they want to serve the Lord and follow what God has for them? Well, I can imagine that Noah must have had this thought running through his mind as he stepped off the ark on Mount Ararat and saw the judged world for the very first time. And I think it's fitting in verse 1 that the first thing God does when Noah comes off of that boat, the first thing that God does is pronounce his blessings upon Noah and upon his family. You see, that certainly had to help Noah deal with everything that had just happened. I mean, just knowing that God, the one who had sent that judgment, it certainly was a blessing to Noah's heart to realize that God was smiling down from heaven upon him and his family. But there is something else that I want you to see that I thought of, and I want to build my sermon around this morning. Something else that I think anybody who has had some traumatic event take place in his life would have to contend with. And that's this. I can imagine that Noah had to live from that moment on with the fear that if it happened once, it could happen again. Have you ever thought of that? I mean, don't you think that from that moment on, from the time he walked out of that ark, that he had to have it running through his mind that if it happened once, it could happen again? Noah had to live with the fear of massive judgment happening again. And don't you think that he would have lived the rest of his days looking over his shoulder and wondering in his own mind, could God do this a second time? Now, just think about that. I mean, every time a storm blew up, every time he could look off into the western sky and see the storm clouds rolling in. And every time the wind began to pick up and he could look out and see the lightning coming and see the billowing clouds rolling over one another, no doubt in the back of his mind, there was this fear that spoke to his heart and said, uh-oh, here we go again. You with me on that? Can this be happening again? And you know, you have to wonder how far away from the security of the ark did Noah live out the rest of his days. You know, I don't think I would have gotten too far away from that ark, do you? Because the simple truth of the matter is, you just never know. And that brings me to the thought that I want to preach on this morning. It was for this reason, not only for his child Noah's sake, but for the sake of all humanity, that God entered into a covenant with Noah. And that covenant is found in these first 17 verses of this ninth chapter. Now, you say, well, Pastor, just what is a covenant? Well, it is something of great importance in the Bible and is a word that is constantly used in your Bible. I think it's interesting that the word religion is only found once in the Bible, in the book of James, but the word covenant is found over 300 times in your Bible. A covenant is a mutual agreement. It is a compact, an accord between two people or two sets of people. I don't know if you've thought about it or not, but your Bible is divided into two covenants. You have an old covenant and you have a new covenant. In other words, you have an Old Testament. That's what a covenant is. It's a testament. You have an Old Testament and you have a New Testament. And within that Old Covenant and New Covenant, there are several other covenants that God has made with mankind. And one such covenant was established here in this passage with Noah, but it concerns all men throughout all time. And it's interesting in the Bible that God always gives man a token when he made a covenant. He gives man a sign of that covenant. With the old covenant, with the law that God made with the Jews, the token of that covenant was the rite of circumcision. But with the new covenant, God gave a token. That token is the bread and the cup that we celebrate in the Lord's table. And when God made this covenant with Noah, the sign and the seal of that covenant was the rainbow that God put in the clouds. Oh, how Noah's fears must have been calmed every time a huge storm blew up and he thought, oh boy, here we go again. But then the clouds parted and there was a rainbow. And Noah would then remember the promise that God made to him in these first 17 verses where God said he would never destroy the earth with water again. Now, there are three things I want you to see. I want you to pay attention to these. Now, I need to state them and then explain them. Okay? So if you want to jot them down on a piece of paper where you can glance at them, that might help you a little bit. But number one, there is, now this is just three principles that I'm going to pull out of this, okay? Number one, there is unchanging purpose in the most changing things. There is unchanging purpose in the most changing things. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Well, think about it, folks. If there is one thing as we go through life that we learn, it is this. Everything changes. Does it not? Everything changes. Our bodies change. Our thinking changes. Our attitudes change, our hearts change. I mean, everything is always in a state of change. But just think about it for a minute, folks. Nothing changes quite as dramatically as do the clouds. All of us at some time or another have looked up at the clouds and we said, ooh, that cloud looks like a big fish. And then a few seconds later, it has morphed into another image. Not for more than a couple of minutes is the form of a cloud the same. Yet, that was the tablet. Now, think about it, folks. That was the tablet. That was the chalkboard. That was the mural upon which was signed the covenant that was to be unchanging and under which mankind would function forever. In verse 13 and 14, God said the bow in the cloud was the token of the covenant. And that covenant has never been broken by God. Oh, just imagine the devastation that that flood brought. And no doubt it grieved the heart of God tremendously to have to destroy the world in such a horrific fashion. So much so that God promised he would never do it again. The next time the earth will be purified, it will be purified by fire. Both Peter and John saw in the last days and saw the earth purified of sin and the effects of sin with fire. John saw in the Revelation a new heaven and a new earth that will emerge out of the old after it is purified with fire. But from the day the promise was made, think about this, folks, God has never broken that promise. Amen. Never again has the earth been destroyed by water. And the sign was in the clouds. The unchanging purpose in the most changing things. Amazing. Amazing. Now, can I get you to think about this? Everything changes. And it changes all the time. But God's promises never change. Right. Now, you just think about this. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That never changes. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That never changes. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That never changes. Amen. And out of the most unchanging of things, the promises of our God never change. That's amazing to me. Number two, I got to hurry. Number two, here's a second principle I see here. Look at this. that which we dread, God can illuminate and use to bless us. That which we dread. Just think about it for a moment, folks. Noah went through. He went through that flood. Can you imagine it? 40 days and 40 nights. There have been times where we've had a winter storm come through, and we live on a hill, and that wind just whips up that hill, and it roars, and it hits the screens and the windows, and it'll sometimes I feel like it's just gonna board by board just blow my house away. And there have been times through the years where I've sat on the edge of the bed at 2:30 and 3 o'clock in the morning and thought to myself, would you just stop? I can't even sleep because of the noise that is going on with the storm. And just think about it, folks. If there was probably one thing that scared the daylights out of Noah, it was when the clouds started rolling in. When we moved here 20 years ago, 21 years ago, you remember that old English bulldog we had, Daisy? I knew when a storm was coming. That dog was scared out of her mind at a storm. Thunder, I knew it was coming. She could hear it when it was in Hagerstown. And many a night, middle of the night, Karen and I are laying there sleeping away, and then all of a sudden, 60 pounds of blubber just right up in the middle of the bed. How in the world she did that? Her legs were only about that long. But when the storm came, it scared her to death. And that thunder would the first crack of lightning and the first sound of thunder right up in the middle of the bed, she had come. And I'm telling you, folks, that was almost a physically impossible feat for that dog to accomplish. Well, imagine the fear that gripped Noah's heart when he saw a storm front moving in. And just think of the memories that came rushing back into his mind of the flood and how devastating that all was. And his heart would begin to sink, and Noah would sit there and say, oh no, not again. Yet, it was there when God put the rainbow in the cloud. It was that very terror that God illuminated. And the second he saw the rainbow radiating out of the billowing clouds, a sense of calm swept over his heart, and he had to learn and he had to know that God was never going to go back on his word. The rainbow has been a constant reminder of God's promise. I've told you all this before, but for the sake of the new folks, we had a storm here one day, and it hit right at 4 o'clock as I was going home, and it seemed like it just followed. I was following it, and it was following me all the way out to Bachman Valley. And I pulled into the bottom of the driveway, and the rain was just absolutely, I mean, it was coming down sideways. The wind was howling. The storms were dark. My headlights kicked on the car. I mean, it was storming. And I pulled up the hill, and I hit the garage door opener and pulled the car inside. And as I pulled the car inside, somebody called. And so I answered the phone and just sat there in the car talking on the phone over the car and talked for a few minutes. And then I turned the car off, turned the phone off, got out and walked to where I could see out clearly. And the storm, you could see the storm blowing away. And I saw this huge rainbow begin to form. And I stood right there and watched it. And lo and behold, that rainbow came right down and dropped itself right into the woods in front of my house. When that thing perfectly formed, It looked like someone had taken gold dust and just sprinkled it all over everything. It was the most amazing thing. Everything was suddenly cast in a bright golden hue. It was as beautiful as anything I had ever seen. And then I remembered what my mom always used to tell us, that there is a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. And that's where they got that. Because right where that rainbow comes down and touches the earth, the colors of that rainbow give off that golden hue. And a few minutes earlier, lightning and thunder and driving rain and howling winds, all an indication of just how violent nature can be. But then the next minute, it was as if the peace and calm of heaven had fallen upon the earth. Isn't it good to know that there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus? Isn't it good to know that? Oh, we look at the ravages of sin all around us, the death and the destruction and the disaster that sin brings with it. And then we realize that God has made a covenant with us, and there is no condemnation in Christ. Oh, thank God for the covenants. Oh, I'd like to stay there for an hour. Number three, quickly, let me give you a third one. Number three, Noah learned. Listen carefully now. Oh, this is so good. I'm getting a blessing. I haven't even read it yet. Number three, Noah learned there is mercy over the portal of God's dwelling. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? Well, when you look at the scripture, you will learn that the clouds are God's pavilion. You learn that Jesus ascended back to the Father in the clouds. Remember that? And when he comes for his church at the rapture, which I wish he'd come today, he will step out and call us home by standing on the clouds. Now, hold your place here, but go over to the book of the Revelation, chapter 4, for just a minute. Let me show you something. Look at Revelation 4. In verse 1, we have the rapture. He said, after this, I looked and behold, a door was open and in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither. Wow. Da 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 da. And boom, we're gone. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. In verse 2, John said, immediately I was in the spirit and behold, a what? A throne. Where was that throne? In heaven, because that's where he got called up to. All right, and immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Now, who's sitting on that throne? Jesus, yes. You know this. See, y'all could teach the book of the Revelation. Y'all so smart. Look at verse 3. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. Wow. Look at verse 4. And round about the throne there were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw the 24 elders sitting and clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. Now watch, and out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. John said that clouds and thick darkness are about the throne. But watch, in the thickness of those dark clouds, John saw a rainbow in verse 3. Can you imagine how fearful John must have been when he got to heaven to look and see his friend, the Savior, the Lord Jesus, to see his Redeemer sitting on the throne, and out of that throne he could see lightning and thunderings coming out of the dark clouds around it. But it was then, when he saw all that, that he saw the rainbow around the throne. You see, in 4:3, in Revelation 4:3, he saw that which was promised by God. He saw that which was covenanted to Noah all of those years ago. A token of a steadfast and sparing mercy that is available for all men. You see, Noah learned a vital lesson on that day when God gave this promise. Noah learned that there is mercy where God dwells. And the good news is, there's still mercy that comes from the throne of God. On a physical level, the storm would blow up and it would rage and it would threaten. But soon, the token of God's mercy would appear. A bright and brilliant rainbow, and a smile would come over Noah's face as he remembered God's covenant of mercy. Wow, what a wonderful truth that is. What a wonderful thought that is. Can I remind you that the psalmist said his mercy endureth forever. I don't deserve that mercy, neither do you. But no matter how bad things get in life, let's always remember that our Lord's mercy endureth forever. You see, folks, when God makes a covenant, he will not and he cannot break it. He is forever bound by his word. 4,000 years after the flood, we are still looking at the rainbow after the storm, and we are still remembering God's promise to never destroy this world again with water. Still today, the rainbow gives man a natural sense of comfort. And that God of mercy would love to extend his mercy to you this morning. When Christ died for us on Calvary's cross, God established another covenant with mankind. He said, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." So in that day, when we call upon the name of the Lord, he in his mercy enters into a covenant with us. And the writer of the book of Hebrews said, it's an everlasting covenant. Everlasting. Today, I am celebrating my 46th spiritual birthday. Amen. 46 years ago this Sunday, I walked down the aisle, got on my knees. Gary Lane took the book of Romans and showed me how to get saved. And I called upon the Lord and got saved. It was a beautiful day that morning. It was warm. Global warming was in full effect. It was George Bush's fault. And on that day, right over on the right-hand side of the church, I entered into an everlasting covenant with God. And now here it is 46 years later. And that covenant that I got into 46 years ago today, it's still lasting. If it was everlasting when he made it with me, that means that 46 years later, it's still lasting today. Do you know the Lord? Have you gotten into that covenant yet?